Cape Talk. Health and wellness.
And it's a great delight to welcome back Dr. Irshad Ebrahim of the Constantia Sleep Center, standing by to take your questions, to talk to us about the impact of blue light, to talk to us about how to do make better effort to get better sleep. It's great to have you with us again.
Nice to see you, Pippa. And thank you again for having me on Cape Talk.
It's our pleasure. For those who haven't heard him before, let me just tell you that Dr. Ebrahim has extensive experience in the field of sleep medicine. He completed his original medical studies here in South Africa, has gone on to do sleep research all over the world, has postgraduate qualifications in a number of related fields, and has founded sleep centers not only here in South Africa, but also in London and Edinburgh. He's a very busy man, jetting between practices all over the place. So we're glad to have caught you while you're in Cape Town. It's not just about being tired the next day if you don't get a good night's sleep. Let's talk a little bit about the impact of bad sleep on our overall health.
Well, I'm glad you said bad sleep and not enough sleep. There are two elements here. The one is quantity. Doctor, am I getting enough sleep? Doctor, how much sleep should I get? The answer to that is you need enough, as much sleep as makes you function at your optimum the next day. Now, if you're getting what most people would consider enough sleep and you still wake up feeling tired, lethargic, anxious, having poor concentration, irritable and not getting on with your work colleagues, and there's an absence of a major mental disorder, then clearly something's going on in your sleep, and that is where the problem lies. We need to see what's giving you poor sleep quality. So the two cues of sleep are quantity and quality.
Okay. Now, the quality is obviously to do with good sleep versus bad sleep. We know there are cycles of sleep that we go through. What makes sleep bad versus good? What do you actually mean by that?
Having poor quality sleep means that you are disturbing, for some reason, either internal or external, the normal sequence of events of sleep. Now, most people would have, we all have both types of sleep, REM, rapid eye movement sleep, and non-rapid eye movement sleep. We call non-rapid eye movement sleep, sleep. We call REM sleep paradoxical sleep because our brain is very active and our body is paralyzed. We can't move. 25% of our sleep time is in REM sleep. 50% is in stage 2, medium sleep. And then deep sleep and light sleep take up the other 25% between them. You've got to have these proportions of sleep, and sleep needs to go through a sequence of stages in a specific way for all the processes that the brain needs to carry out to be done efficiently. So if that cycle is disturbed, either by you snoring or twitching your legs or noise outside,
mosquitoes at this time of year.
Or you're stopping to breathe, or your environment is not conducive to efficient and good quality sleep, then you're going to wake up feeling tired because your brain hasn't done all the functions it needs to do, and your disk drive is still full of corrupted files.
Good way of putting it. Right. I reached the point at the end of last year where I said to a colleague, I feel like in order for me to be able to save one more piece of information, something else has to go out the other end. That disk drive needed rebooting. Is it possible to sort of build up an accumulation of sleep deprivation and get to a point where you have to kind of all fall down or set yourself a chunk of time to recover?
Absolutely, because this does have a cumulative effect. The more you disrupt your nighttime sleep, and if you do this regularly, nightly, for example, then you're going to get a clogged disk drive. And just like our computer slows down when our disk drive is clogged and our files are corrupted and we haven't done a disk cleanup or a defrag, similarly, the brain and the body then starts to respond. So accumulative fragmentation, what we call fragmentation of sleep, results in other metabolic problems. What we do know is when you sleep deprive mice, they put on weight. And then they die.
Sure.
And in that process develop all sorts of immunological issues and various other abnormalities. If you fragment sleep in human beings, if they, for example, people with sleep apnea, their metabolism becomes abnormal, their fat metabolism becomes abnormal, and they stop being able to lose weight. And then they get into a vicious cycle where they might be slightly overweight to start off with. But then this becomes a perpetuating factor, and a vicious cycle.
Because you're carrying extra weight, it can affect your sleep. So
exactly.
Round and round it goes.
Correct.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I think a lot of people might have spotted an article that was quite widely shared over the holidays and got everyone very excited, drawing the link between sleep and weight loss. And I think it was a study at King's College in London which made exactly the conclusion you've just said about the fact that people who were sleep deprived tended to put on weight. In their case, they said they tended to make bad decisions about choosing healthy, unhealthy foods and not having the sort of mind power to say no to the unhealthy stuff. So this link between how we sleep and weight fluctuation is a real thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was part of that study. So what we found is that if people are sleep deprived or their sleep is fragmented, they tend to wake up feeling tired and they need to access simple sugars quickly,
right,
because that gives you energy and makes you concentrate better.
Makes sense, but of course that's
so there are two elements to this. Number one, if you just fragment people's sleep, they put weight on independently of diet. But secondly, if you fragment sleep, people will change their diet to adapt to the symptoms of sleep fragmentation and inadequate sleep.
That is absolutely fascinating. We're talking to Dr. Irshad Ebrahim. If you've got a question about sleep, please do phone us on 021-446-0567. You can also do what Anonymous has just done, send a WhatsApp saying, funny you should mention the twitching. My right leg and the arch of my right foot twitches almost every night when I go to sleep. It constantly feels like it's about to go into spasm. Could I be keeping myself out of sleep, is the question.
Twitchiness in sleep, or as you're falling asleep, is actually relatively common. There are various different causes of this. A significant number of people would say, as I'm falling asleep, I have this jerk. And as I'm literally falling into sleep, which we all have this falling sensation into sleep, they have this jerk. And that's called a hypnic jerk. It's sort of classified within the normal range of things. It's just sort of as you're going from wakefulness into stage one sleep, your brain is recalibrating and sometimes the nerves just kick off, literally. Okay, and it's usually a benign condition, but if it's preventing you getting to sleep and it causes insomnia sometimes, go and see a sleep doctor and he'll give you some medication to overcome that in the short term, and then it usually goes away.
Okay.
Other condition that's relatively common that causes twitchiness in sleep is something called periodic limb movement disorder. Now, that is related to a condition called restless legs syndrome. Mm-hmm. Now, restless leg syndrome are sensations you have in your limbs that are sort of creepy, crawly sensations or achy type of sensations when you are resting. So when you're lying down or sitting, and they usually happen in the evening, and you have this urge to want to stand up and stretch your legs or walk about, because stretching and walking relieve these symptoms. Restless legs occurs mainly in women. It's very commonly associated with pregnancy because there's a reduction in the amount of iron storage. So low iron levels tend to be associated with having the symptoms of restless leg syndrome.
Okay.
And it can occur in a variety of conditions, and also some medications, psychiatric medications, for example, can trigger restless leg syndrome. Associated with restless leg syndrome is about 70% of people with what we call RLS, restless leg syndrome, which occurs in wakefulness, is that in sleep, about 70% of these people have a condition called nocturnal myoclonus or periodic limb movement disorder. And these are muscle twitches in sleep which can disturb your normal transition from one sleep stage to another.
Mm-hmm.
So, the combined thing is called RLS-PLMD, restless leg syndrome with periodic limb movement disorder.
Okay.
And this can cause tiredness, and you're exercising in sleep. So you wake up physically and mentally exhausted. Again, once you see a specialist, this can be easily treated. And again, to remember that a lot of medications can precipitate this, particularly things like the SSRIs and the SNRIs, Effexor, Prozac, Cylift, that type of stuff.
Speaking of medications, Anna's messaged asking about taking melatonin, saying, is it a safe way to get a good night's sleep? And if it is, why isn't it available over the counter in South Africa?
Aha, now there's the million-dollar question. Mm-hmm. Look, melatonin is essentially a medicine. And it is, its main function physiologically is to set our 24-hour circadian rhythm. Our brain naturally secretes melatonin in the evening. It peaks in the late evening. And it sets our sleep clock and our wake clock. When we wake in the morning, light suppresses our melatonin secretion. Melatonin is very useful for people who have a circadian rhythm or a sleep-wake scheduling problem, in that they might have a delayed sleep phase where their melatonin secretion is delayed. And in that case, and this occurs mainly in adolescents.
Okay.
You know, we all know teenagers want to go to bed later and wake up later.
And then sleep till 11, yes.
Yeah, that's a physiological thing. Mm-hmm. Their brain naturally wants to do that because the part of the brain that controls our 24-hour rhythm matures slower than the rest of the brain. And then there's usually a catch-up, and then they develop an adult style of sleep and wakefulness. So coming back to the question, I'm not a politician, so I always answer the questions. Coming back to the question, is melatonin used to be available over the counter here. But I think several years ago, the regulators in various countries, and that's not only in South Africa, decided that melatonin should be on a prescription-only basis because, like any other medicine, it needs to be prescribed by a doctor. You should be advised on its potential side effects, etc. And it's very safe. Mm-hmm. And in the United States, still up to today, you can get melatonin over the counter in various Asian countries. But for example, in Dubai, it's strictly by prescription. South Africa, the UK has always had it on a prescription-only basis. So, yes, I understand the thought, but I think it's best it be done under medical supervision.
Okay. Anna, thank you so much for your question. We go from Anna to Drew on the line from Rondebosch. Drew, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter. How are you?
Well, thanks. And yourself?
Not too bad, thank you. I'd like to ask a question about how do I shift my sleep pattern? For quite a few years, I've had to get up early for work, and I find that I wake up about 4 o'clock every morning. By 8, 9 o'clock in the evening, I'm exhausted. I can go to bed at 8 o'clock and be in sleep within 2 minutes.
Lucky you.
But even if I have a late night, like New Year's Eve, say got home at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd still be awake at 6.
Hmm.
And I'm constantly tired.
Doctor, what advice would you?
What you're saying is that you were a shift worker for many years. You worked in early
shift. It was just that I had to get up early to travel to work.
Okay, and what time was early?
I'd sort of be up 5, 6 in the morning.
Right.
But I'd always wake up around 4, and so, I still do.
So you've always woken up naturally at 4 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
Okay, and how long is that? Is that been even before you needed to travel to work for?
Yes, probably the last 15 years.
So what, since you were 10 years old?
I wished. I wish. You need to add a lot more years to that.
Okay, so last 15 years, suddenly you just started waking up at 4 in the morning?
Yes.
Okay, and you're generally healthy, not overweight?
Possibly could do with losing a little bit.
Do you
high cholesterol? I snore very badly.
Well, then possibly you've possibly got sleep apnea that's waking you at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right, I can't get back to sleep. No,
you won't be able to get back to sleep because in that period of the morning is when you're having most of your REM sleep. And REM sleep is active brain paralyzed body. When we say paralyzed body, we mean your muscles are very relaxed. You have very little tone. And it's in that period of the night that sleep apnea is at its worst. So if this is happening every night, your brain's probably decided, I've had enough of this.
But then it makes me so tired during the day. Sometimes
you're tired during the day, I would imagine. I haven't seen you, so I'm just hypothesizing here. So if you're overweight, you're male, are you over 40?
Yes.
Okay, and you snore, and you're tired in the daytime, and you've got a high cholesterol. Have you got high blood pressure?
It's sort of borderline.
Borderline. You're heading to developing a chronic illness unless you get seen by a sleep specialist soon.
Right, okay.
Whatever you've told me gives me 99% certainty that you've got sleep apnea.
Okay, so Drew, in other words, you need to get it seen seen to soon. Thank you. Okay. Obviously, we can't ask the doctor to diagnose anybody over the airwaves. You'd need to be seen by a doctor. While we're talking about that, won't you share the details of your particular sleep centre in case you would like to make contact with you?
If you're in the Cape, it's Constantia Sleep Centre. Just put that into Uncle Google. And you'll find it.
Constantia Sleep Centre. Drew, good luck, and please do get it checked out. Anne in Pinelands, thank you for holding patiently. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm 80 years of age, and when I lie down at night or in the afternoon, I find that my toes hurt me very badly. I had, about 2 months ago, I went to the doctor. I had extensive and expensive tests done, and they couldn't tell me anything. So I wonder if you have any idea why I have painful toes, not feet, just the tip of my toes.
The cause of painful toes could be vascular or arthritis. And does it occur only when you're trying to sleep or lying down, or does it occur at any other time?
No, just when I'm lying down. When I'm walking, it's fine.
Okay, so when you're lying down and you're at rest, but you're awake at the time.
I can be awake, or sometimes I wake up in the night because of sore toes.
Gosh.
Well, does the pain wake you up, or when you wake up, you then feel the pain?
Exactly. When I wake up, I feel the pain.
Okay, it's not the pain waking you at all.
No, no.
Okay, I think you need to see a rheumatologist for that.
Okay, and so maybe redirect. This is a sleep doctor. You sound like you need to see a rheumatologist, and good luck. I hope you get some clarity and relief from the pain. We've got two voice notes that have come in on a very important topic that I did want us to cover, which is the issue of cell phones. Let's take a listen to those.
What about cell phone and sleep? What is the story with cell phones and sleeping?
Hi Pippa, question for your sleep doctor. I have extremely vivid dreams almost every night. I'd say probably 80% of my night's sleep is extremely weird, bizarre dreams. And I'm wondering if extremely vivid dreaming is detrimental to quality of sleep. Thanks. This is Amanda from Milnerton.
Thank you, Amanda. Let's just start with a cell phone question, if we may, because we've been told increasingly you shouldn't have your phone next to your bed when you go to sleep. What are your feelings?
And I think, you know, what's happened over the last couple of years, all these apps have decided that they want a market, and people tend to be, sleep is a very topical event, but we're also concerned about sleep because it's a part of the 24-hour cycle we're not actually 100% in charge of.
Mm.
And so we're fascinated by it. And so the Fitbits or the Bitfits and the, of this world have created this whole sleep ethos around technology and wearables and all of that. And yes, I think it's great to have our sleep monitored, but they're not actually monitoring sleep. They're monitoring activity, and then they're deciding indirectly what you are up to in your sleep. So they're not very accurate to start off with, firstly. Mm-hmm. Secondly, they're making people do things that they should be doing when they're awake. In other words, thinking, concentrating, and being active, when they should be more passive and not really that active in terms of thinking. So I think we're becoming over-involved with our sleep, which is an area that's more of a passive thing than an active thing. If you've got symptoms of not sleeping, or if you've got insomnia or tiredness in the day, then by all means, you know, get some indirect measure of it.
Mm.
But for an hour before bedtime, you should be offline. And related to that, you should be off your cryptocurrency trading too. Stay away from crypto coins after 10 p.m. at night.
Obviously, it's to do with keeping the mind engaged and active when you want the mind to be shutting down and slowing down. What about the issue of blue light from all the devices?
Well, again, there's the apps that change the light, etc. Mm. Turn the phone off. Stay away from it.
Okay.
Okay.
Easier said than done. I went looking for an alarm clock the other day to put next to my bed instead of the cell phone.
You don't need an alarm clock. It's not difficult. And you don't need an alarm clock next to your bed. You can leave your phone at the bedroom door on airplane mode and with the mic off, because the alarm goes whether or not you've got your ringtone on or off.
That's a good idea, because that's going to force me to get out of bed and walk out and turn it off.
Importantly, turn your notifications off. You know, every app you download automatically gets into your settings and turns the notifications on. So you have your vibration mode on, you have your sound mode on, you have your ping mode on. And the last thing you want is a WhatsApp ringtone at 3 a.m. when you're getting into like really nice, nourishing sleep.
Happened to me at 2:30 this morning.
Exactly.
I got an SMS telling me I'd won $100,000.
Respect your sleep. You need it.
Okay, I think we've got time for one last voice note before we wrap up the conversation. Let's take a listen.
My girlfriend falls asleep very quickly, within like 1 minute. And then often I'm still awake, and then all of a sudden like I'll move and she'll have this massive like almost episode where she jumps up and stands on the bed, starts speaking French because she's Swiss, and like always, and you know, she's dreaming vividly, and then I have to like, babe, you know you're dreaming. And then then the next morning she doesn't remember it. So I was wondering what's going on with that. Is there something going on in her head? I don't know. I just want to understand it.
How good's your French? Do you understand what she's saying about you? Any comments?
She's probably got a parasomnia. She needs to come and have a sleep test done.
Okay. So I'm intrigued by that one. Please suggest that she goes along to the Constantia Sleep Center or another sleep medicine specialist to get that looked at. I'm sorry, we've got so many questions. We haven't been able to get through all of them. And if we haven't tackled the specific issue that you're looking at, please do go and Google Constantia Sleep Center for more information. Dr. Irshad Ibrahim, been great to have you with us again.
Thanks, Pippa. Nice seeing you again.
Wishing you good sleep going forward.